Kina Yud Zayin, Nehemiah Zabrowski.
The next Kina is based on a Pasuk in Eicha. Just a side remark, all of the kinos are based on psukim, on midrashim, gemaras, which is a lesson to be derived from that. We once remember in the yeshiva, so we asked our rabbi, Rasal Vaychik, if he could talk to us about Diri Ashkof. So we arranged one evening per week he would meet with us and talk about whatever he was going to talk about. But then he realized, he said, how can we talk about something if we don't have a sefer? Something from Tanakh or somewhere. We just can't talk about things. You have to base everything you talk about on Tanakh. The Rechazal, then it has meaning. But just to talk, you know, even learned things, whatever it is, it's not the way, that's not the way. So he said, he says, we'll sign psukim of Sefer Tehillim. And when we hear the psukim, then we can derive ideas from them, then we can talk. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. And so, everything that we have, as it says in the Mishnah, hafaychba dekulaba, whatever you're looking for, whatever answers we're looking for, whatever problems we have, whatever things we want to bring out, we have to root ourselves always in our Messiah, the Tanakh, and how Chazal interpret everything. And that's where we can find our answers. The Pasuk is in the second parak of Yirmiyah, the 20th Pasuk, and it's a complaint. Yirmiyah says, Ve'ei Hashem habita l'mi alal tokoi. Look, Hashem, and look closely, who did you do this to? Im teichalna noshim pilyon. Look what happened to us as a result of the tzavas. Women ate their own children. Children who they grew up and they loved and they adored them. And then the end of the pasuk says, it's, if you read it pasuk, it says, Im yareg b'migdash, could you believe that it would happen? They would kill in the Mikdash Hashem, Koyin Benovi. But that's not really the pshat. The pasuk is that's an answer. The Rebbeinu Hashem answers us. Look at the Rashi. The Rashi says, "Oloi tapuchim yolodim rakim, soft children, sheoidim gedolim b'tapuchei amoisam." They're measuring them how high they grow yet. You know, they say every 6 months or whatever, they put them near, they say, oh, you grew up another few inches. Rabbi Seinu Darshu on somebody called Doeg Ben Yosef. It's a Medrash Rabbah. It's not clear from the Gemara whether the father was Doeg Ben Yosef or the child was named Doeg Ben Yosef. The reason why the Gemara brings this is to tell you that you shouldn't name your children after a shoyim. And it has an effect. Gadoimi was a Rasha. And look what happened here, the Gemara says. Shoy Seimai, so he died, the father died, and either the son, either the father was named Doeg or the son was named Doeg, whatever. She was left in Amman and she had this son. Every time he grew another tefach or a few half a tefach or whatever it was, she would donate the sum of his height in gold to the Beis HaMikdash. What happened? She ate him. She slaughtered him and ate him because of the tzaras of the siege on the Beis HaMikdash and the tzaras that happened. And she was starving and she couldn't bear it. And that's what happened at the end. And that's also part of, and so you see, the Yirmiyahu is complaining, look what happened to us. And then the Shechina answers, Im Yahari b'mikdash Hashem koyim v'navi, Ruach HaKadosh meshiv asam, v'chino alachem sharaktem ezechari ben Yayada. Was it a nice thing? Was it a good thing that you murdered Zechariah ben Yayada? Zechariah ben Yoyada, his father was Yoyada HaKohen. And Yoyada, if you look in the Yoyada HaKohen is mentioned in the Mafta that we read in Pasha Shkola. The story was that there was a wicked marshas. I don't know if the, I think this is the only place that the Tanakh calls this a lady a marshas. Asaya was murdered everybody, and she became the queen, and she introduced Avodah Zarah, and the most terrible things that could happen. And there was one son left from Malchus Beis David, which was Yoyah Shamelach, and he was a baby, and Yoyada Kohen saved his life and hid him in the base Kodesh Kadoshim for about 6 years or something like that. Finally, when the time came to overthrow her, he took her out, and he installed him to be the king. So Yoyada HaKohen, who also probably was a Navi, because they mention his, when they say Zechariah, they mention the father's name, it must be that he was a Navi too, saved his life. And all the days of Yoyada HaKohen, the Tanakh says, Yoyash HaMelech walked in the ways of Hashem. All the days that Yoyada HaKohen was alive, he lived 130 years, it says. But then when he was Nifter, the people said, you grew up in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It must be also a god or something like that. So what happened on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, Zechariah ben Yoyada, who became a Navi, it says the Ruach Lavsha, the Ruach Nevuah enveloped him, and he started to give the Musa, what are you worshipping Yoyash? And he's giving Musa Yoyash also, what do you think you are? You know, what's going on here? And they didn't want to listen to him, and they were very disturbed by what he said, and they murdered him at the Beis HaMikdash. And that's, as was mentioned before, his blood was boiling. I don't know if it was 250 years or it started to boil, whatever, it was there. And then the Nebuzaradan, the chief general, chief executioner of the Nebuchadnezzar came, and the Gemara and Yuma described, in Hanazokin and Gittin describes the scene. And he says, what's this blood boiling here? So initially they told him that it was from a leftover from a carbon. So he slaughtered a carbon and he said the blood doesn't match. It's not the same color or whatever. He says, if you don't tell me, I'll just murder everybody. So they told him what happened. So he says, I will appease the blood and make it stop boiling. And he started to systematically murder everybody. He murdered first the Sanhedrin, and then he murdered children. It turned, he must have murdered, I don't know, it says from the Gemara and Gittin, it sounds like it was about 210 million people or something. I don't know if it's possible to do that in one day, but it was whatever happened in the Holocaust in over a number of years happened basically in that day, so it looks like. And the blood didn't stop boiling. So finally, Nebuzaradan made a Kal V'Chomer. Later he did that. He says, what do you want me to do, Zechariah? You want me to destroy all of Am Yisrael? And I left out that before Zechariah died, he asked that his blood be avenged. It was such a terrible crime. Incidentally, we could understand a little bit, you know, Aaron HaKohen sort of appeased the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar in regards to the Maisa Egel Hazav. And he kept stalling and stalling. He didn't do like Chur, who went in direct opposition to them and started to musa them, and Chur was murdered. So why didn't Aaron HaKohen do the same thing? And Moshe had a daven for Aaron HaKohen, says the Rebbe Shlomo was very upset with him that he sort of like was appeasing them a little bit and stalling and didn't tell them outright what they're doing. And the Mefarshim explained, Aaron was a Kohen and he was a Navi. And Aaron HaKohen understood what a terrible thing it is that if the Bnei Yisrael would get angry and they would murder a Kohen and a Navi in the Mikdash, look what happened. He was afraid of the calamity that would befall Knesset Yisrael as a result of the sin. And that's why he didn't stand up against them. It was for the love of Knesset Yisrael. They didn't want them to be punished in the same way, like we see what happened when they killed Zechariah. It was a Kohen and a Navi in the Beis HaMikdash. This was 250 years before the Churban. We have to understand another thing here. You know, we say in Rosh Hashanah and Zichronos, Ki ein shikha lifnei kisei chivoydecha. There's nothing forgotten by the Rabbi Yisrael. Whatever anybody does is always recorded. It doesn't go away. It doesn't just get erased. The Parashim is Tzayfe Mavit that Tzayf Kol Adoyrois. And when somebody does something wrong, even an individual, a small thing, you never know what is a small thing and you don't know what is a big thing. And what a virus Leolena that we do, what effect it has on the world and what it has. So you'll say, oh, I did a virus, so I'll stand up, I'll do tshuva, I'll try. All right, I did an avera. We do an avera chas v'shalom. It destroys our neighbors, it destroys a neighborhood, it destroys cities, it destroys Klal Yisrael. It could destroy the whole world, chas v'shalom. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, you know, one act of a mitzvah or an avera le'aleinu, the whole world could be held in the balance. If we don't understand, we don't pay attention. What we do is we can complain. This here kina is very, you could see this in modern times. People complain, where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Holocaust? I've heard it many times from people, especially mainly people who aren't from. And they say, therefore I don't believe in the Rabban Shalom. How could it be that Rabban Shalom let this happen? This was the same thing with what it says over here. Rei Hashem Yabito L'mi Alal Toko, how could let this happen? And it ended up a woman ate her own children. So what you tell the person, well, look in the Torah what it says in Parshas, in the Parsha of Teichach, it says that that's exactly what's going to happen if we continue not to serve Hashem and go away and do things which He doesn't want us to do, as it says, and women will eat. Who will eat their own children, Chas V'Shalom. That's a klala. It brought out the most base achzarius that's hidden in the heart of a person. That was the klala that happened to us. Usually Bnei Yisrael, Rachmanim, Lamechassadim. And this is what happened. And the enemy used the most brutal tactics against us that is indescribable, that which is described in the kinah. That's part of the klala, that if we go away, all the base feelings that are in the heart of a person that could emerge. There's no end to how low a person could sink. You could see, even people who are yidden, yeah. You have stories in the camps, you know, about the people who were the kapos, what they called, and they were cruel even to their own people. This is part of the klala of what happens. I'm not saying I know why the Holocaust happened. Chas v'shalom, I'm not a Navi or anything. I remember a member of Aaron Soloveitchik, Zechariah Levracha, said there are two types of answers about the Holocaust. One is from non-from people, and usually upper courses. And then the reasons given by from people is a bunch of nonsense, usually. You don't know what they're talking about. I don't know why the Holocaust happened, of course. But in general, we know that everything is a cheshbon for everything. And that's what the Rav Hashem answers. He says, you did this, you murdered an Avi, you think that the thing went away. That wasn't the only cause, probably, for the Churban. There's other averes, but nothing gets wiped away until it gets fixed, and we have to fix it. And the description of all the atrocities and achzorius that happened is in the Kinah. 80,000 Kohenim ran into the Heichel, and they burned them all alive, and they put the brains of all these little children on the stone, and unbelievable things. And then the end of the Kina says, yeah, that's all I hear about the Rebbeinu. He says, how could you do this to us? But they never say the other half, the other side of the coin is what we did, that we murdered a Kohen and Navi on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash, plus who knows what else we did. And we are accountable for what we do. But the Rabbi Shalom is waiting. He's a Avar Rachamon. And we're still here. As we say, I just heard as an end of the previous Kina about Titus. We're still here. There's a story I just heard that Rav Kahaneman was in Rome. And it was raining and it was a cold night. When he first arrived there, he said to his host, take me to the Arch of Titus. So they said, what do you want to do? It's cold, it's raining outside. Can't you wait till tomorrow? He says, no, I gotta be able to go in there. And he went there, and he stood under the arch, and he said in Yiddish. He said, Titus! Wo bist du? Ich bin da. Titus, where are you? I am here. We're still here. Rabbi Shalom is an Amarakama, and he's waiting for us to fix up all these things. We can't say, what did you do? Why? We have to say, we know why. We have to be minded. We know why it happened. We don't know any particular things. We say, maybe if we had a Navi, somebody would tell us exactly what to do. Like they had. Well, we do have Navim. What do you think the Sifri Navim are here for? It's to be consulted. The same things that happened over and over again. And we know what the Nevi'im said, and we know why things happen. And we should take these things to heart. And if we do that, Tava Rachman, Tava Rachman is on us. And we have to say, not only are we here, but we're here in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, Meir Yemei.